Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, people used to say, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. You know, I'm not sure if that's true or not, but I'm sure it's important. The problem is, a lot of times, we don't have time for breakfast. We got things to do, places to go, errands to run, work to get done. We don't have time for breakfast. Wouldn't it be great if you could wake up and breakfast was already made for you? You wake up and there on your table is a delicious breakfast just waiting to be eaten. That would be great. Back kids, Mother's Day is coming up. Mom might appreciate breakfast in bed, just saying. Just an idea. Now the disciples were up all night fishing. They didn't catch anything, but I bet they were starving. What a shock when the risen Lord Jesus calls to them, provides for them a miraculous catch of fish, and then makes a wonderful invitation, come and have breakfast. What a joy, what a privilege. The risen Lord Jesus, who had died for the sins of the world and now has risen victoriously over death, this same Lord decides to just make them breakfast. They should serve him, but he graciously serves them, and they get to have breakfast with Jesus. What a privilege that is. And to me, it shares with us and pictures for us what the risen Lord Jesus continues to do to serve his church. What happened on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, also known as the Sea of Galilee, is a picture of how the risen and victorious Lord continues to serve his church. The privilege that we have of being part of his family, the church. I want to share four of those privileges today. The four privileges we have as being part of the church is, number one, the church is forgiven by Christ. Number two, the church is fed by Christ. Number three, the church fellowships with Christ. And number four, the church follows Christ. So let's start with number one, forgiven by Christ. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. John 21, verse 7. First of all, and probably most important, the church is forgiven by Christ. We live daily in the forgiveness that Christ offers to us. Now, remember the situation here. This is after the resurrection. The disciples were instructed to wait for Jesus in Galilee. So what do you do while you're in Galilee? Well, you fish. While waiting there, Peter decides to go fishing, and six other disciples go with him. They fish all night and catch nothing. Jesus appears on the shore, but they don't recognize him. It's kind of sounding familiar, isn't it? It's still early morning. It's still pretty dark. Jesus is a ways off, so that's probably why they didn't recognize him. He tells them, hey, cast out your nets on the other side. And when they do that, their nets are filled with fish. It's all strangely familiar, isn't it? That's when they recognize it is the Lord. Now, Peter's reaction is classic Peter. Peter, of course, is the man of action. While the other disciples are trying to haul the large catch in, Peter jumps in the water and starts swimming towards Jesus. Notice Peter's excitement and enthusiasm after the resurrection. They're 100 yards out, 100 meters out, but that's not going to stop him. This is the way Peter reacts following the resurrection. Remember, when the women report the tomb is empty, Peter doesn't go, he doesn't walk back to the tomb. He doesn't casually stroll back to the tomb. He runs. And here, Peter doesn't wait to bring the catch in and row the boat back to shore. He can't wait. He has to get to Jesus. He jumps in and does the 100-meter freestyle back to shore. So what's motivating Peter? Joy? Yes. Enthusiasm for the Lord? Absolutely, for sure. But I think he needs something from Jesus. He needs to hear the word of forgiveness that only Jesus can offer to him. Peter needs to be assured that his sin of denying Christ three times is fully forgiven. And that's exactly what Peter's going to hear today. For each time Peter denied him, Jesus assures him that he is forgiven and instructs him to feed his sheep. Peter could not wait to see the Lord, to hear the word, to be with the Lord in fellowship. What enthusiasm he has for Jesus and his word. So I guess the question for us is, do we have that same enthusiasm and energy to hear God's word and spend time with the Lord? Or do we sometimes kind of make excuses, let small obstacles get in the way? I would have came to church, but it was raining. I would have came to church, but it was sunny. It was a good day for golf. You know, I would come to church, except my Bible study is so early. What? Come to church? Yeah, well, the only problem with church is, why is church so late? It's so close to lunch. You know, sometimes we lack the enthusiasm and energy that Peter displays here, don't we? May God give each of us the same enthusiasm, the same joy, the same energy that Peter had in hearing God's word and wanting to spend time and feast with Jesus. Which is point number two. In the church, we not only have the privilege of being forgiven by Jesus, we are literally fed by Jesus himself. Which brings us to the second privilege of being part of Christ's church. We're fed by Christ. The disciples got to have breakfast with Jesus. They not only got to eat with him, he himself prepared the meal and had all things prepared. He invites them to bring the fish that they had caught, which are actually the fish he graciously provided for them. Jesus has this meal prepared for them. He has all things ready to meet their needs. You know, Snickers has a series of funny commercials. You're not you when you're hungry. You've ever seen those? Those are hilarious. And it's so true. You know, physical food is a need. There's no doubt about it. And when we're physically hungry, we start to grumble. We start to complain. We start to be just plain grumpy. We can be, I don't think we can be at our best unless we receive our daily bread from the Lord, unless our physical needs are met. But as important as the physical meals that the Lord provides are, the Lord's Supper is even more important because it meets our spiritual needs. We can't be the best version of ourselves without the spiritual nourishment that the Lord provides in the Lord's Supper through word and sacrament. We need the body and blood of Jesus Christ given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. You know, breakfast might or might not be the most important meal of the day, but I guarantee you that this supper, which the Lord himself has prepared, which the Lord himself invites you to, is the most important meal you will have all week. You see, in this meal, we have the same privilege that the disciples had right there at the Sea of Galilee. Here in this meal, we are fed by the risen Christ. And more than that, we get to fellowship with Jesus Christ. And that's number three. The church is forgiven by Christ. The church is fed by Christ. And number three, the church fellowships with Christ. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. What a great invitation. What an amazing breakfast that must have been for Peter and the other disciples. Imagine the joy they felt being in the presence of the Lord once again, enjoying his company as he served them and met their most important needs. Again, we get to enjoy that same privilege. The Lord invites us to his table. And the reason he invites us to his table is, yeah, absolutely, to meet our needs. We need forgiveness of sins. We need the nourishment, the strengthening of our faith. But the other reason he invites us is because he's our friend. He's our best friend. And he desires our fellowship. The Lord loves to spend time with you. And he loves it when you desire to spend time with him. What a joy it would be if you could have breakfast with the Lord every day. Wouldn't that be great? What a privilege that would be. But in one sense, you can, through daily devotions. Daily devotions are one way to spend time with the Lord and fellowship with him each and every day. I use Portals of Prayer for my devotions every morning. We offer it here as a resource at St. Matthew for your own devotional life. Feel free to pick up a free copy today. I also have the Portals of Prayer as an app on my phone if that's easier for you. It's a great way to hear the Word of God. Devotions are not a chore. They are a privilege. The privilege that Christians have of spending time with the Lord through his Word. Our Lord delights in us, and he loves to spend time with you. Like these disciples, you can have your very own breakfast with Jesus each time through the blessing of daily devotions. See, this is what the church does. What incredible privileges we have as a member of God's family, the church. As members of the church, we are forgiven by Christ. We are fed by Christ. We fellowship with Christ. And last of all, we follow Christ. Which brings us back to the fish. A miraculous catch of fish. But what's interesting to me here is that number. How many fish were there? 153 in all. What an interesting number. Kind of an unusual number. I guess I've read and listened to some Lutheran theologians about that, seeing if there's some symbolic significance to the number 153, and the conclusion is that not really. Not that we know of. There are some ideas, but there's nothing certain. No one knows for sure if there's a symbolic meaning. I don't think 153 has any symbolic reference whatsoever. I don't think it's the main point. But I think there are two really important things we learn from the number 153, that there's 153 fish. The first thing we know is, well, one of the disciples really loved to count. My bet's on Matthew there. My best guess would be the accountant Matthew. I can just see John saying, boy, there must be something like 150 fish here. And Matthew kind of pushing up his glasses going, yeah, actually, 153, John. Yeah, that's what. But, okay, that probably didn't happen. But the real point of the 153 is this. It's a historical detail. It's the kind of thing you read in history books. Not the kind of thing you read in fairy tales, because this isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a very fairy tale of once upon a time in the land far away. This happened at a specific time in a specific place along the Sea of Galilee, and specific events happen. It's real history with a real boat, real nets, the real fish, 153 of them, and the risen Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, it's the kind of detail you find, not in fairy tales, but in history books, because this really happened. And this is an important event. The reason Jesus goes to all this trouble to do this is to remind the disciples of their great mission. As I said, all this seems strangely familiar because it's a repeat of the miracle that Jesus did in Luke chapter 5, when he first called the disciples to follow him. When he filled their nets to the point of breaking, he told them that their days of fishing for fish were over. From now on, he has a more important job for them. From now on, they are fishing for men. By repeating this miracle in the exact same place, the Sea of Galilee, in an exact similar way Jesus did that first miracle, Jesus brings everything full circle. He reminds his disciples that they are on a great mission to share the good news of salvation for all people. What a privilege it is to be part of Christ's church. What a privilege it is to be the ones to share the best news of all with the world. Salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, the free gift of eternal life through the forgiveness of sins, which Jesus won through his death and through his resurrection. What a privilege it is to be part of Christ's church, to be forgiven by Christ, fed by Christ, to have the privilege of fellowshipping with Christ, and to have the privilege of following Christ as he continues his great mission to share the good news with all people. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.